Hell on Wheels. I was going to my daughter's house, driving west on I-80-94, getting near the Indiana-Illinois state line. It's like driving in a video game. Overpasses, mergers, perpetual roadwork, trucks, motorcycles. But if you want to get to a Chicago south or west side suburb, you end up on this ribbon of death traps, like it or not. To steady my nerves, I had the radio tuned to NPR to play along with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I'm the white-knuckle kind of driver. You've seen me, older lady hunched over the wheel. I had just slipped through a truck sandwich of a chemical tanker and an audio carrier, and suddenly, right in the middle of the news quiz, which I'm winning, by the way, music pours out of my radio. So what? Public radio is music breaks, you say. This was not, however, NPR type of music. This was praise music. The kind heard at contemporary church services, where songs are projected up front on slides with a dove motif. So I listened for a few minutes, thinking maybe NPR was experiencing technical difficulties, but the music went on for quite a while. You're thinking, why didn't you check your radio dial? Well, I did my best. I turned the knob. One click of the knob and the praise music stayed on. Another click and it was still syrupy praise music, oddly on several stations. Then it hit me. Today is Saturday, May 21, 2011. Could this moment really be the rapture? Yes, that day had been predicted by an evangelist of International Family Radio to be the rapture. The day the chosen would rise to heaven, those left behind would face earthquake and fire. I wildly turned the knob, click, click. The praise music just stayed there, rising and falling like buzzing bees. I pawed the dashboard for the Sirius radio tab. Nothing. Silence. Are the satellites dead? We'll return to that exciting story after I tell you a little bit about the book from which it comes. Undeniably Indiana. Hoosiers tell the story of their wacky and wonderful state. After all, in Indiana, we celebrated 200 years as a state just 3 years ago. And today's book is a lasting memento of that celebration written literally by the people who populate our state. Undeniably Indiana is the first crowdsourced book about our state. Food, although it didn't come up in that particular section, is a key to any state's sense of self, and certainly Indiana has enough food stories to fill volumes of print. Undeniably Indiana's chapter is titled Eating Out, and it is one of the best chapters to read in this book, as who among us doesn't have a fun dining out story to share? Probably have more than one, probably have several. You'll read uplifting musings about our state. The beauty, not of I-80-94, but the beauty of what so many folks outside of Indiana see as nothing more than flyover country, corn and beans, which, granted, have a beauty of their own. Those of us who live here know there is so much more, from the lakes of the north through the rolling plains of the midsection, and of course, those famed hills, nay, mountains, of the south along the Ohio River. Perhaps few chapters appropriately paint a picture of so much of Indiana, of our rural countryside. Which begs the statement, what about urban Indiana? Well, fear not, gentle listener, our town and cities are here too. A tale of James Whitcomb Riley, you remember him, early in his career, when he spoofed superstar Edgar Allan Poe's poetry with a ringer poem while working in Anderson, Indiana. The joys of our mid-sized towns. What resident of Greater Lafayette will fail to root for an essay that begins, "The most Bloomington thing I ever did was to leave Bloomington." And tales from Evansville in the south, Fort Wayne in the northeast, Indianapolis, of course, but also Michigan City, Muncie, Richmond, and somehow, Peru, Wakarusa, Huntington, and Versailles, or Versailles, all make the urban chapter too, which tells us a bit about Hoosiers define themselves and how we design city life. The Hahn Museum, are you listening, Bob and Ellie and Flo, takes pride of place in the chapter titled First and Only, Biggest and Best. And of course, we need to brag about our Hoosier heroes, the well-known, such as Kurt Vonnegut, and the often unsung but deservedly written about, there's World War II hero Adrian Marks from our own areas, Ladoga and Frankfurt. But most telling that this is a book about Indiana are two chapters which focus our attention on a, to me, surprisingly tepid collection of basketball stories, and Indiana is basketball, if nothing else, and meteorology. In a chapter titled, Just Wait Till It Changes, tornadoes are the mainstays of these stories in this chapter, but there's a fair amount of reminiscing about the changeability of Hoosier weather, too. After all, as the opening essay in our crowdsourced book tells us, some people mark their life events by keeping newspaper clippings, taking photographs, or collecting memorabilia. As a meteorologist, I mark my life events by the weather that occurred that day. My first real memory of weather comes from back in 1961, when my father took me on a field trip. Reed got us out of our mother's hair for an afternoon. We went down to southwestern Indiana, where he was checking gas well readings when a thunderstorm blew in and dropped a tornado, which was heading for us. My father ran to get my sister and me into the car. My sister was petrified, and I'm sure I was too, except that I remember seeing the ghostly gray funnel heading for us and thinking, cool, I was hooked. Not to burst too many bubbles here in this review, but growing up in southwest Ohio as I did, I remember being regaled with the, if you don't like the weather, just wait, it's sure to change, from adults daily, if not more often. Now, make no mistake, this is not an academics review of Indiana. It may be a product of Indiana University Press, only say that once, but its intended readership is the every person of Indiana. So, for a crowdsourced book, the writing in this collection is better than average, which is why I bring it to your attention. The authors deliberately did not republish essays that have found a home elsewhere. This is all new material. And while they do admit to some light editing, what book, what author doesn't receive such scrutiny as a regular part of publication? In part, it's worth looking back just a bit sometimes to see what 200 years of statehood can bring, what it has brought us, what can linger, as still worth noting. As another reviewer wrote, quote, this book is full of stories featuring tractors, fishing, basketball, and parades. How true. A lot of parades in this book, a lot of memories about basketball. A lot of tractors rolling through the fields, and of course, fishing. How could you not have that in a book about Indiana? I want to finish by going back to that very urban story about life in Indiana, where you may remember our narrator was telling us she was driving on 8090, getting towards the Illinois border, listening to, of all things, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, when suddenly she thought she was in the midst of the rapture. We can pick up our story as she's telling us. Apparently, taking over the radio stations was the first angelic mission. Is the music outside, too? I actually opened the window. I'm not a subscriber to end-time scenarios, she writes, but I was alone and captive as an astronaut in that galaxy of traffic. Belief was beginning to look very good. A fast car zigzagged across several lanes. Then, is there a rush? I checked the rearview mirror for the horses of the apocalypse in this highway with its billboards for strip clubs, casinos, divorce lawyers, and fireworks. Suddenly, the traffic tightened like beads drawn on a string. Caught up in the soaring music, I tried to make an assessment. Do I deserve to be saved? Oh, where does one begin to look for the answer? Just then, the traffic holdup became clear. Natural order had indeed dissolved. Cows stood, and sadly some lay, on an overpass and along the embankment where their overturned carrier had spilled them out, black, white, and red. So, apparently today was not the end. The praise music? In gripping the steering wheel, I must have squeezed the radio button onto an AM Christian station, and the dashboard knob I twirled again and again was the temperature control. The missing satellite transmission? Well, there are some very wide underpasses along 8094. So many stories of Indiana then and now, all collected in this crowdsourced collection from that other press, undeniably Indiana. Hoosiers tell the story of their wacky and wonderful state. It's available at every Indiana public library, I would hope, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.